Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Darkhearts.
Hey, Darkheart fam. Welcome back.
Yeah, episode 100.
I should do like a, can you hear my drum roll? Or is
I
that,
can, yeah.
It's not really a drum roll because we already announced it, but like,
yay. Whatever.
I was like, I don't know what I was even thinking last night. I was like, oh, I should find like a fun confetti sound. So when you say it's episode 100, it's like, boom, you know, fireworks. But I did not. And so
that's fine.
You know what? People just imagine it. Cause
yeah,
this is
imagine
exciting.
Fun fireworks 100. Sounds. Yay.
That
I could do it too. Cause I do the editing, but also.
Yeah, don't do
lazy.
It. It's too much work.
Yeah.
It's fine. But we're excited because I feel like 100 is a huge deal. I mean,
it is a huge deal. The fact that we've been doing this for over 2 years now, we've hit episode 100. Like, this is amazing.
I know. It's wild.
Especially because we're both procrastinators and stuff. And like, yeah, we do that.
Somehow
we've stuck with it.
I know. And it's interesting because sometimes like cases like will come up on something I'm watching and I'm like, this is familiar. I'm like, oh gosh, we covered this one. You know, like
know.
It's to the point now that we've done so many that like we actually, I mean, we do keep track, but like we actually are starting to like get to the
remember
realm
off
so
the top
many.
Of your, yeah. And to remember off the top of your head, especially when then you also like follow other true crime stuff. Like,
yeah.
It all kind of starts to unfortunately blur together a little bit.
Yeah. It totally does. As a matter of fact, I was like scrolling, of course, the other day and I came across this like true crime thing and I looked at the pictures and I thought, oh, they're familiar looking. Then I read the thing and I was like, oh, we covered it. And it was actually interesting. I don't know if you remember the case of Ashley Reeves, and I don't remember the state offhand. I'd have to pull it up. But she was the girl who was having a relationship with her teacher and he strangled her, but she survived.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So interesting story. I was going to actually send this to you the other day and I was like, I should do an update, but I'll just do an update right here. He was, I think, sentenced only to like 20 years and
I remember
exactly
little.
Why, but he served 17 years and he actually got released last week.
No fucking way.
Way. Definitely. And I was like, what? And I thought he still has like a whole life to live. He's only in his like 40s. So,
no, that's not okay.
Yeah.
I hope she's doing okay.
I know. I cannot imagine. I just read the brief article and then I started like Googling it and stuff and then I got distracted and I never ended up finding, oh God, sorry, my dog is pawing at my keyboard. Okay. So I apologize on that. But yeah, I was like, that's wild. But that's how you know you've done a lot of cases when you come across that kind of thing. And it's like, whoa. Yeah, he was released on April 22nd. Serving 17 years out of his 20-year sentence.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I need to go back. I feel like you're the one who covered the case. I feel like it was one of the times when we were recording in a car. But in South Dakota, the girl who like murdered her roommate or friend or something.
North Dakota.
North Dakota something.
Yep.
Yes.
And that like, one. She was going back into like a trial or sentencing or something, right?
And it was like right after the pandemic or like things were still behind and stuff. And I keep meaning to go and look.
That's so funny that you say that, because when I saw this other article about that case, it made me think to this other case, because I remember we were like, oh, like shit's going to hit the fan soon with that. Like this woman had lived this full life and had kids and married and all this stuff. And then finally now it's like, by the way, you're going to go to prison probably the rest of your life because you killed someone 20 years ago. I hope you had enjoyed your time out, you know, like,
right.
We'll have to go back on that, but because a lot of these cases too, it's like, we want to keep you guys updated. And then sometimes it's just tough because we cover so many now that it's it's wild, but
I know. I feel like we need a whole other list of like cases that could be updated. To,
I know.
Like go back and periodically like
should just
check.
Do like an update episode or something.
Yeah.
If we ever have a bunch to do and cover. And
yes.
But yeah, kind of crazy. So on that note of things, yeah, we've done a lot and we made it to 100. So that alone is a milestone.
It is.
Yeah. So
I'm very excited about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, who knew?
Yeah, I know. It kind of started as like, are we going to do maybe one or two episodes? And no, here we are. 100 later. Who'd have thought?
100
I mean, we've each covered,
later.
You know, 50 episodes. That's probably more research I have done in these past 2 years than I've done in my entire school year, college
right.
career. because I hate research. But when it's something you actually like, I guess it's interesting. So
I know. I'm currently reading a book for a case I'm going to cover. And, like, I could easily have had it read in one day, but then, yeah. like, I'm easily distracted, too. And when it comes to reading, my ADHD has been ridiculous lately, and I have, like, 7 books going right now.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens, you know?
Well, and I'm very much a mood reader, too. And this one is... It's not that it's written bad, but it's also not, like, necessarily the most engaging, so...
Yeah, sometimes those are difficult, too, and when it's not, like, a fictional story or something that's, like, what's gonna happen next, it's, like, when it's just laying out facts, it's a different kind of read, so...
Yeah, and, like, as I was reading, I don't want to talk too much about it, but, like, I know it's a case that I'm semi-familiar with because it talked about some things, I'm like, oh, I remember hearing about this, so I just need to get through and finish it, it's... a wild one. So I like some of the backstory I'm getting with it that I think is a little more than I would get with just researching on the internet, but it's still a thing. I'll get it finished here soon.
Yeah. You know what? It's fine. We're not going anywhere. Clearly we're on episode 100, so you can do it whenever the heck you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So where are we going for your episode? Cause in case you guys forgot, we're going all over, not all over, but two different places,
you know, I'm not staying in the heartland, but I am still in the U.S. And like I said, Shannon, you know, this case is the whole reason why I came to you. And I was like, hey, so what if covered whatever cases we wanted for, you know, these 99th and 100th episodes, because I really wanted to do this one.
That's exciting. That's sometimes it's just fun. Like the last one I did, I had a lot of people reach out that like, hadn't heard about that case. And so I was like, oh, that's always exciting. Like when you feel like you're bringing something new and fresh. So this will be exciting.
I don't know how new and fresh this is, but you know.
Not that mine was new and fresh, but something different that maybe people don't know.
Yeah. So obviously if you've been listening for a while, you all know that I love a good cryptid. And I've been able to cover some of the big ones, pun intended, with like Bigfoot and stuff, you know.
That's good.
You know, the off brand of Bigfoot as well. Wanted to talk about this other one who's also one of those big ones when you think of cryptids, and that's Mothman. So we're gonna be in Point Pleasant, West Virginia this week. I'm gonna say I know I've listened to some, I think way, way back when, My Favorite Murder covered kind of some of this a little bit too. More so with a tragedy that befell the community around the same time too. But like, I'll get into it. But like, for that being said, like, there wasn't as much information out there as I kind of thought there would be. I did find a documentary, which I'm gonna kind of call it a documentary loosely, on Amazon Prime called Mothman of Point Pleasant, and they did interview like locals, and they had recordings of eyewitness accounts and things like that that other people had taken. There is also a book titled The Mothman Prophecies that was written by John Keel.
That's what I've heard of.
Yes. Well, and a lot of people probably recognize that because in 2002, it was made into a movie with Richard Gere.
Yes.
I wanted to watch that because I'm not going to lie, I never watched it.
Neither have I. I've just heard of it all, but...
Yes. And so I was going to watch it, but I ran out of time. I'm still probably going to try to watch it at some point soon. Just to see. So, like, John Keel's is... I'm not gonna lie. So I did find a way to read it online for free, and it was only 172 pages.
Nice.
I couldn't do it. The way it was written, I could not bring myself to do it. But I will link in the show notes where you can read that if that's what you would like to do, because that actually came to the town during the time of all of this and was, like, researching it and all the things.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. But yeah, so that book became a bestseller, and like I said, they made it into a movie. The Amazon show was interesting. And I will say too, like, the Amazon show, if you want like more of like, because I'm not going to go into all of the eyewitness accounts because they just kind of got repetitive.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll talk about a couple of them, but if you want to hear all of them, you know, go ahead and go in there. There was one that like all of the news, like stuff I found online, like, first of all, called the dude Newell. And then apparently in the thing, they called him Merle.
Okay.
I don't know. And, like, I don't know. His account that, like, everyone says online is different than, like, they had his audio recording of him talking about it, and it was slightly different. I'll get into that. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yes. So anyways, the start of the Mothman, you know, sightings was on November 15th of 1966. And the first eyewitnesses were, there were two couples that were out driving around. And now right outside of Point Pleasant is a place that they call the TNT, which was an abandoned National Guard armory and power plant. And so I guess everyone just refers to it as TNT. It's an abandoned place. People go out there to, like, drag race, horse around, lover's lane type thing, because it's a bunch of acres. It's secluded. So I guess these couples were out there because Roger and Linda Scarberry with Steve and Mary Mallett. And I guess Roger had a new car or something. I don't know. They were going out joyriding in his car. So they're out here on State Route 62, and they saw a 6 to 7 foot figure standing on the side of the road. And they told police that the eyes glowed red in the headlights. Linda described it as a slender, muscular man with white wings, but could not describe its face because its eyes were quote unquote hypnotic. So, becoming afraid, Roger sped up the car heading towards town, but the couple said that the creature began to follow them. And they said, like, at one point it was trying to run, and they all say it was really clumsy trying to run, but then when it was flying, it was keeping up with the car, and Roger says he got up to 100 miles an hour. So it followed them all the way to the Point Pleasant city limits. Now, the next day, the paper ran a story with the headline, Couple See Man-Sized Bird, Creature, Something. And after this, the locals kind of did what small towns do, and they went out with, like, their shotguns and stuff, and, like, went out to the TNT area to try to find it.
I just picture Beauty and the Beast when they're, like, going to slay the beast, yeah, and they're, like, singing and marching up the hill.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, don't sing too much of it. We'll get...
I know, it's going to be in my head, too, and then we'll go down a whole other Disney... Yeah, no, we don't need to go down that trail. Okay,
yep, exactly. On. So, yeah, I guess, like, in the documentary, they were talking about, like, the only thing townspeople wanted to know was if they could shoot it, and if there was more than one, could they shoot them both?
They just want to use those guns, don't they?
Yeah, apparently. Okay. And, like, I guess it got so bad with people going out to that abandoned TNT area that, like, the National Guard had to come out at one point. And, like, regulate it.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And so then, like, there was also two volunteer firemen who were out there, like, I don't know, like, directing traffic or what. They were out there helping with something. It was, like, 1:30 in the morning. And this was
probably
a few
the biggest
days.
Happening that's probably happened in a while. So, you know.
Right.
Big news.
Yeah. Yes, and I should say Point Pleasant is a small town. Like, it's got, like, I think they said around 5,000 people. So it's all just, like, neighborhoods and stuff. And they are, there's a bridge that connects them to another small town in Ohio. Cause they're near, like, a water area and all that things. I do think the Appalachian Mountains are close to this area as well. So, I mean, you know, them are some creepy places too. Oh, so these two firemen said they called it a bird though. They said they saw a large bird with red eyes. Now, okay. So then it comes out that actually a couple days prior to this, in another town, I think it was like 50 miles away, this is the man who was either Newell or Merle. You know, I guess I'm going to go with the documentary.
Pick your choice. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go with the documentary. They called him Merle. And I'm going to kind of talk more about because a local resident had recorded him giving his account of what happened that night. So I'm going to tell that one, and then I'll kind of tell you what I saw online and show you how they're different. So Merle Partridge, so he lived, I think it said, like, one place said in Salem, West Virginia, I think in the documentary they said somewhere else. I'm assuming it's around there. He lived not too far from this area, okay? A few days prior to these couples seeing Mothman, he claimed one evening him and his wife were sitting watching TV when it started making, like, these really weird popping, high-screeching noises. And Then his dog, who was out on the porch, a German Shepherd named Bandit, started barking. So he gets up to go turn off the TV when, like, it's one of those old tube TVs, right?
Oh, and, yeah.
like, some part of it exploded or something. So then he goes outside to calm down his dog. And he says in the distance he sees these two red lights. And he says they weren't eyes, but they were, like, circling intermittently. And his dog... Okay. His dog takes off.
Yeah, speaking of dogs, this dog's right. about, maybe she sees Mothman out my window right now. I'm gonna mute myself, so carry on.
Okay, so he said, you know, he saw them spinning in a fast circle for like a few minutes, and then his dog Bandit took off in that direction, and he couldn't get Bandit to come back. He was hollering him for a while, and unfortunately Bandit wasn't seen again.
No,
I know.
I hate that.
I know.
Hopefully, and he, like, just ran really far away and found a new
and then
special
another,
home.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling myself. Well, because then the other thing is, so, like, what they say online is that they mention the TV, like, making weird noises.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then they say that Bandit ran off into the woods and he, like, saw two red eyes that looked like bicycle, like, reflected bicycle reflectors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw footprints of Bandit running in circles, and then that was it. But I was like, okay. So I'm like, these are two kind of very different
things. Yeah, very much
and
so.
I guess, I don't know, maybe he changed it, like, because I don't know when the recording was done, yeah. you know, later on and stuff. But...
like, choose your
either
own
way,
adventure.
Yeah. So there was Mason County Sheriff George Johnson believed that it was just an especially large heron, and so, like, in
pretty
this
freakishly
area,
huge heron, but,
right?
Okay.
Well, so one of the theories that townspeople had, because this abandoned TNT place, right, Air Force Base, they made all these things. A lot of people. I don't know how factual it is. Like, mm-hmm. in the documentary, they kind of made it sound like it was a given thing, but I don't know that it is. That, like, after World War II, this place was abandoned. That's a given. But then they said that the government, or, like, Air Force and military, was dumping chemicals there, and then they gave it to the town to be, like, a wildlife preservation. And I'm like, how are you going to do that if you had been dumping chemicals? I don't
right.
know.
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Right. So people, I think the whole dumping of chemicals is, like, a town... legend type thing. So some people think that it's a bird that was mutated because of the chemicals that were dumped.
Like, the hills have eyes. I have a lot of movie references today, but that's kind of what that makes me think of. So, you know.
Yeah. So another kind of theory from a wildlife biologist from West Virginia University, Robert L. Smith, he believed it was actually a sandhill crane that had gotten off its Ooh. Normal migration pattern. Which, for those listeners of ours who are in this area and stuff, like, we have the cranes come through. And is it Kearney where they
Kearney,
stop?
Kearney, yeah.
Like, we get like them Kearney, here yeah. through Omaha. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
But that's, like, where, like, the huge migration of them happens and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I guess they can be the size of a man.
Like, I mean, they look big. They do look big, yeah. but I guess it's hard to know when in a picture, like, how far
right.
away they are. And
I've
I don't
never
know.
Actually seen, I see them flying in the air. And,
yeah.
like, they do look big then, too. But, it, you know, it's hard
yeah,
to say.
Hard
but
to know.
They do have that red marking by their eyes. But my thing is, like, okay, but that's not going to, like,
stand
flash.
Out at night. Yeah, and you're
yeah.
not going to, yeah. You would only see that if it was light outside. And even then.
Yeah.
It's far enough. Isn't it, yeah, further on the side or no?
It's
I guess
like
it could be.
I'll post a picture.
Yeah, please do. Clearly, I'm
well.
Not up to date on my
I mean, like,
my birds,
but okay, so this is my other thought, though, too, is, like, birds' eyes are on the sides of their head. So even if they're looking at you straight on, you're not going to see both eyes, right?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
So, like,
yeah,
how are you going to see two?
That's true.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
I think that sounds a little sus, but... also, I can kind of see it, because if they are almost 6 feet tall and they have a 10-foot wingspan.
Yeah. But they can still walk without, I mean, right?
Yeah,
birds still
they can
walk fine. And it
yeah.
said that he could, like...
they said he was a clumsy
he was clumsy.
Runner.
Like, yeah. What?
I mean,
I don't know. There's a lot. But that's, I guess, when you... I don't know. And at night, yeah. though, I don't know. And when you're freaked out, you see things different.
Yeah. And if you're not... I guess if you're not used to cranes...
yeah.
Like, I could see
I mean, it's a pretty terrifying. I'm kind of scared of birds anyway. And so, if one's running towards me, you, yeah. I mean, see things a lot different than
that's I fair. Would. I will say, like, a lot of eyewitness accounts talk about how, like, it just shoots up in the air. Like, it doesn't flap its wings to, right. like, take off. It just shoots up. Yeah. And I will also say, like, during this time and, like, right before this, I guess there was a lot of UFO sightings in West Virginia, specifically around this area within, like, a 50-mile radius. And so that's the thing with this documentary that I'm like, I guess some people think that Mothman is an alien. So I'm like, okay, so they thought it was connected to this. So, like, apparently at this time, there were a ton of, like, alien sightings. And there was something about the Smiling Man, which sounded terrifying. And, like, this documentary, like, for
the Smiling Man?
Yes. Like, apparently it was an alien named, something cold. I can't remember. Like, Ingrid Cold or something. This is the thing with this documentary, okay? Like, it goes all over the place because at one point Men in Black are mentioned coming into town as well. And I'm I was just waiting for them to bring up Bigfoot and connect that as well. Gosh. So I was tempted to look more into this.
That's a little interesting, though.
The UFO thing because their reenactments that they did were like these creepy, like, computerized cartoon things.
Ooh.
And Inga, did you ever watch Salad Fingers?
No.
The YouTube stuff?
No, but I know what it is. I know what it is. You know what he looks like, right? No. Yes, I do.
That's what this dude looked like with the creepy smile.
No. Anything smiling when it's a creepy situation is not
with, like, cool. With no lips and shit? Mm-mm.
Nah.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know the trauma that is Salad Fingers.
Oh, I'm aware. Uh-huh. And the fact that the name is Salad Fingers makes it kind of goopy alone, so it's fine. But
it's creepy.
Right. That's why it's deceiving, because you're like, oh, Salad Fingers. And then you look it up and it's like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah. Nope. Yeah. The creepiest thing. So anyways, that's why I'm like, okay, y'all can watch it for yourself, but it has some creepy cartoony reenactments. So from November 1966 to, like, April 1967, there were a ton of sightings, but they're all a lot of the same things. You know, a lot of people were going out to the TNT place, and apparently, like, out by this specific, like, abandoned plant part is where they said they see them a lot. One guy said that him and a friend were out there. They saw the red light, the red eyes. It was a very full moon. So they decided to go up. Like, it was three flights up. So they go up there, and this creature comes inside the building. And they said it stood in the shadow, so they could only make out, like, the gray figured outline. You know, they described the wings, the tall eyes, but they said the eyes didn't glow red. So they were under the impression that they glowed red because of, like, the reflection of the lights. That the eyes themselves didn't, like, just unnaturally glow red.
Yeah.
And that it walked towards them for a bit and then, like, walked off onto this catwalk. And then just, like, they heard flapping wings and it flew off. So. Okay.
Were these people all drinking and doing drugs out there?
You know,
I mean, when you have multiple accounts, but still. Yeah. It's interesting. Yes. It's interesting. You gotta think of that.
Right. So, like I said, like, it's a lot of the same things of, like, that, right? And, like, one lady talked about how they were near it and she was getting into her car and she was holding her 3-year-old daughter and it was by the car. And so she tried to run back to the house, but it chased her and she fell. But then she did make it back, you know? And
so are there any actual accounts of, like, it being violent other than the chasing, just, like, scaring the hell out of people?
No. Interesting. Uh-uh. And I guess, too, Linda Scarberry, who was one of the first people in one of the couples, she apparently saw it around 18 times, and she eventually came to believe that it was trying to communicate with them, but didn't know how.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, like, one of the last times she said it looked sad. I don't, like...
okay, Linda.
Yeah. So, and then I guess after April, it just kind of, like, tapered off. There'd be a few here and there, but nothing too much.
And this was all in West Virginia?
Yes. And so, like, Point Pleasant, a lot of it happened there, but it also happened, like, a few other areas, like, within 50 miles radius or so and stuff. But Point Pleasant kind of seemed to be the main
place. Like, the hot spot for it. That's interesting. Just because, you know, like, with Bigfoot, there, it's like you hear all these other different mm-hmm. places and stuff. So I was curious because I don't really know a whole lot about Mothman. So
yeah,
I didn't know if that was like a wider spread thing or well, if it's pretty isolated. And
I'll kind of come back to that.
Okay.
Towards the end of this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So then we get back to November of 1967 and the sightings really start to ramp up.
Oh.
And there was actually one woman who saw Mothman in the daytime. It was a Sunday. She was driving home from church at like 10:30 in the morning and she saw what looked like a man on the side of the road next to this like abandoned golf course. But as she got closer, she realized he was gray. He had big wings and he kind of like flew. And she mentioned his red eyes and like she was so transfixed by his eyes that she couldn't describe much else about him because she couldn't look away from him. And so then actually, and this is the thing, it doesn't say one way or the other when it happened. Like, I don't know if this happened within minutes, within mm-hmm. days, but apparently this woman later contracted, or she at some point after this encounter contracted Klieg conjunctivitis. Now, what that is, it's an eye condition caused by prolonged exposure to UV rays. Symptoms include redness, swelling, and sometimes graying around the eyes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that was a weird and interesting
That is interesting a weird thing. Fact there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, I'm like, okay, but like, we also don't know anything about her life. Like, does she work in a
right.
place? Like, I mean, and like,
it's again, the 60s. Like, did people wear sunglasses that much? Like, people weren't as into like right. self-care. And,
like, so then I was like, were you just like staring at the sun? Like, what were we doing?
Yeah.
And also, again, it didn't say like, if this had happened like immediately after she had like had right. the stare down with him.
Then I'd be like, okay.
But we don't know for sure for that.
Yeah.
So then, so like from November 1967 through December 15th of 1967, people were saying they were seeing him all the time, right? Now, for those of you who are familiar with Mothman, and like I said, this is the tragedy. So on December 15th, around 5 p.m., the Silver Bridge that connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia to a town in Ohio, actually a cable on it snapped and it was bumper to bumper traffic and all of these cars went into the river and gosh. Unfortunately 46 people were killed in this incident.
Wow.
And like some bodies were never actually recovered.
That's awful.
Yeah. And so like I said, some people who know the lore, like people will say that like Mothman either was like the cause of it or like trying to warn them. Like some mm-hmm. people say that he shows up before tragedies, mm-hmm. but they interviewed a journalist and some other people who were like kids and stuff at the time of that. And they said no one mentioned seeing Mothman on the bridge or anything like that. So I don't know where this kind of came from. But then after that, like apparently there were no more sightings of Mothman.
That's kind of weird though, too.
Yeah. I will say in West Virginia, though, in Point Pleasant, they have made a Mothman museum. They have merch that you can actually buy online. I'm not going to lie, I want some of the shirts that
yeah,
they
have. I'm sure.
But so, you know, so they have some of, I think, that stuff there. But so, like I said, so with the whole, some people do link Mothman to this bridge incident. And yeah. so that's led some people to think that, I guess supposedly there were sightings of Mothman in Moscow, Russia, right before the 1999 Russian apartment bombings.
Oh.
So.
That's interesting, but it makes you think, like, it's not like he was specific to standing on the bridge trying to, like, deter people from going. Yeah. I mean, could it be the opposite, too? Like, he's just there to, like, bring death upon them type thing. Right. You know, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. That could be. That's interesting.
Apparently there have been several sightings of Mothman reported in Chicago. And I think one of them I saw was like as late, like as early as, or, you know, most recently as 2020. 2020. a postal worker who's getting off at the airport or something like that.
Yeah.
She saw him in the parking lot, but I didn't see any like tragedies involved around that.
Yeah.
But if you go with the theory that Mothman is an alien, Illinois in general, as well as Chicago, as I did that episode that was specifically that's about the aliens, you know, they have a lot of UFO sightings. So, I mean, maybe that lends credence to the fact that Mothman maybe is an alien.
Maybe. Why Mothman? Why do they call him Mothman? I mean,
because of, I think, the way, I don't know where Mothman came. Like, I think like the wings and the red eyes, like, I don't know how Mothman came about.
I was just, curious if they're, like, it's funny how, like, someone picks a name and it, like, sticks, and then that's what it is, you know?
I think,
like,
on Wikipedia, there was something about, like, the Batman TV show was on at the time, and even though this, I think he had a nemesis who never made it to the TV show, at least not at this time, but was, like, similar to this, like, appearance, and I think that's kind of how it got done, according to Wikipedia, so take that with a grain of salt.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah. That's fun.
But yeah, but like I said, I thought there would be a lot more on Mothman than there really was. So like I said, I mean, you can watch that episode. It's free if you have Prime. It's like a little over an hour.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And I want to watch that movie now, too, just because I'm curious. Like, how,
I know.
I mean, obviously, none of it is necessarily accurate because we don't have, like, factual, you know, things about
it. Right. Well, and even though the author wrote the book as a factual thing, I mean...
Yeah.
They're still going
to
and they're also going to, for the movies, like, hype it up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're
going
to make it way more theatrical,
way more
and dramatized, which is fine because we all love a good movie. But
I will tell you some things I found when I searched for Mothman books.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
You'll find erotica.
Oh. Not the route I was thinking.
Yeah, no, I came across one that was called Mounting the Mothman. And I won't lie, I contemplated reading it.
That's hilarious, actually. That's something I feel like you would read, just because it's about the cryptids and it's spicy and, you know.
Listen, I read the Door one and that was already...
Oh, yeah. That, I can't.
A little much for me.
Yeah.
But, so I didn't read it. But I will tell you, if you want to read it, it turns out it's the fourth novella in this whole series.
Oh, gosh.
So it's on Kindle Unlimited, if you have that. So they put the first five together. It's the Alien Sex Chronicles. Considering that all five of them together is only 132 pages, I'm sure just each one is just like two or three pages of smut.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
There's also another one I saw, another volume that's like 6 through 11 or 6 through 12. So this lady just kept writing. But if you want to know
what
the premise is, there is a woman who works for the government. I think her name was Anna or something. And they make her have sex with aliens to get information and keep them happy. Apparently the Mothman one, he was interested in her. And so they made her sleep with him. Which I'm like,
okay, there's a lot wrong with that. But okay.
Yeah.
Where do we start unpacking that?
But if you wanted to know the titles, the first book is Boffing Bigfoot. 50 Slaves of Grey, which gray men, I think, is kind of an alien thing. I've heard of gray men theory stuff, so I think they're like aliens.
This sounds like something a like eighth grade boy would write, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tall, White, and Hung.
Stop.
Which I'm assuming is about the Fresno Nightcrawler or whatever. You know, the weird thing that looks like just legs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that that's what that one is.
Yeah,
then we have Mounting the Mothman and Ravaged by the Reptilian. I don't even know what 6 through 11 were about.
Those titles are fantastic.
I'm not going to lie. There's a part
that's
of me
so
that...
Funny. Like, you're gonna read it. Just read them. At least read one of them, the Bigfoot one, and then
listen. It's 132 pages. I probably will read it, and I'm probably gonna regret it.
But we need you to report back to us because this is hysterical.
Okay. Well, now I'm curious, and I have it up here. Let's go see what the other titles are. So, it's 6 through 10, and that's the Nordic Nympho / Sleeping with the Aliens, the Sexy Syrian. Okay, this has got a lot of different. Okay, so we've got the Nordic Nymphos, is number 6. Sleeping with the Alien. The Sexy Syrian. And I wonder if that's supposed to be Siren. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
The Androgynous Andromedan. And Dancing to the Anunnaki Nookie.
Oh.
Oh, this is the other part that I have got to read to you that this has in the description. So in that first one. Okay, I'm just going to read you the description real quick. The Alien Sex Chronicles is a series of short stories about a woman named Amy Rush who was hired by the military to sleep with various aliens to get their technology. Sounds silly? It is. Regardless, these stories were all designed to be read with one hand free.
Oh, yeah, like legit erotica.
Okay. Yes, yes.
That's disgusting. I mean, I get cool. If someone wants to get off to Bigfoot, then I guess...
I mean, you know, hey.
To each their own.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the path I went down.
What's the author of these books?
Let's see. Did they give Anne L... Oh, this is a fake name. Oh. Anne L. Probe.
Oh, yep.
Anal Probe.
Yep.
Anne L. Mm-hmm. Probe. I bet you it's a man.
I know. That's why I wanted to know, but I was like, who's going to... It's obviously, yeah.
And, like, on Amazon, there's no picture, like, author.
Of course.
That's a man who...
Thinks he's funny and witty. He's,
yep.
Okay, well, who'd have thought?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll be adding those to my to-be-read pile, but...
Listen, will the curiosity eventually get the better of me, and will I maybe read it? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, it's for sure a guy. He wrote it about a female getting hired to sleep with, like, yeah, like
alien. Yes,
that's fair. I don't foresee a female writing that. So, okay.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, I know this one's shorter, but like last week's was longer, and I am surprised there wasn't more information,
because like I've always heard of Mothman, but I didn't know. I mean, very much obviously about any of the history or any of that kind of thing or what Mothman was exactly.
How this was enlightening. Got to start. I will say, though, I am curious, and I don't know, I was a little afraid to search for this, because in the course of, like, looking, because I have a Mothman sticker on my car, mm-hmm. along with a Bigfoot one, and in the course of looking...
I don't know if I've ever seen your Mothman one, have I? I don't know.
It's on the back of my car.
Maybe I just never realized what it was, and, like, you know, because I didn't know enough, but...
But, like, I've seen stuff that, like, Mothman is my boyfriend. I've seen something like Mothman ate my ass, and I'm like, where the hell is this coming from?
Why is this turning that direction? Like, you never hear any of that crap about Bigfoot, so why Mothman?
I don't, except speaking of Bigfoot, there's that movie, it's like the Sasquatch family or something. Now it's in theaters.
Is it?
Yes. I have seen things about
like a horror movie or like what are we,
I think it's like part horror, part comedy, but then I have seen that it's got some pretty graphic, like, sex scenes.
Oh, whoa.
With them. Like, I don't think there was any hype, but, like, I've seen a few things on TikTok about it, and it's called Sasquatch Sunset.
Oh, I feel like I actually have heard that somewhere, maybe just because I'm looking it up here now, though.
Yeah. R for some sexual content, full nudity, and bloody images. So it's like a year in the life of a unique family. It captures the daily life of the Sasquatch with a level of detail and rigor that's simply unforgettable. Oh, Jesse Eisenberg.
I just saw that.
Yeah. So I don't, it says action and comedy.
Action and adventure comedy. Yeah.
I saw on TikTok, some people were saying that like, it is like the sex scene is especially just like kind of like
disturbing.
Yeah.
It got 6 stars out of 10, which is more than I would expect, to be honest. But yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. So.
In theaters. Yeah. Okay, then.
You know, I mean, it's like, what is that cool called? Like that internet, it's like Rule 43 or whatever it is. It's like, if you can think of it, like the internet's made porn of it.
Ew. Probably, though. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yep, it's a weird thing. And so I figured if I had to come across those things in my search for Mothman information, you all needed to know that there is cryptid erotica, which I did at one point find a book that was like about a Wendigo, a skinwalker. And I'm like, how are you going to make that sexy? They cannibalize someone to become that.
Yeah, like, no.
And nothing about that sounds attractive.
No, like some of this stuff just, no.
the things that come out of people's heads.
I know. It's
I'm just
disturbing.
So curious about. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Like, where does that idea come from? It had to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Like it. I don't like that at all.
So that's the Mothman. And then some, y'all.
Yeah, well, on movies, I guess we could tell them we saw Abigail. There's that.
We did. Yes, I did really enjoy
it. I actually
Abigail.
Really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, too.
I did. There's so many movies out I want to see right now.
I know.
The Boy...
Actually, that's not true. I don't even know it's out.
The Boy Who Killed the World or whatever, or Boy Kills World. Remember the one with Bill Skarsgård?
Yes,
the dude from Archer and Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
That's out now and I want to see that.
That's right. Okay. There are some good ones now that I remember all the previews too of what was coming out. So good.
Tarot is coming out this week.
I know,
Thursday.
I saw that too.
I really want to see that too.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I don't know that I do. I don't know. We'll see on that one. I do love a good scary movie though. So
I know. There's just so many.
I know. There's a lot. But Abigail was good. So if you guys haven't seen that, go see that one. And
yeah.
Yeah. My daughter's like, can I go see that? And I was like, no.
No.
No, no. Not quite. No. We're not talking Twilight vampire story.
Yeah.
Like,
although
thanks.
It's funny they reference it. Like, what kind of vampire are we talking about? We're talking about Anne Rice.
Yeah. Yeah. All the
Twilight.
Lost Boys. Like, what are we doing?
Sookie Stackhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, they do reference True Blood. Oh, I love it. Anyways, well, on that note, rate, review all the things, please, and thank you. It helps us get more listeners. It helps boost the algorithms. I was reading up on some of that stuff for different people when you like and share a post, even that help get us out there. Yeah. I don't know.
You guys know the drill by now. We're 100 episodes in. You know.
Just do it.
Do it, please.
Share it, like it, send it, swap it, twist it, bump it. You know what I'm
talking
about
with
that
about
game?
Yeah.
What's it? Bump it.
It reminded me of that Daft Punk song, too. I can't even think of it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah, we're all over the place today, you guys, because we can do what we want. Because it's our audience.
Yes. And I guess, you know, too, since I hope all of our listeners, I hope you stayed safe last week.
Yeah.
You and yours weren't affected by the tornado. That was definitely
scary.
A scary moment.
Scary times. It's supposed to maybe have around 2 today. I read that it wouldn't be as bad of a tornado threat, but
I heard it's supposed to be a little more south.
Yeah, and I hope I've been following Mr. Jim Flowers' page on the Facebook, the meteorologist, and he's pretty dead on. Like he was on point on Friday, like when it all happened. So I was like, well,
yeah. Let's hope. I will say the one thing, like, I don't necessarily enjoy living in Nebraska, but it is nice to see how everyone's come together as a community for all the people who were affected, and the fact that, you know, thankfully no lives were lost.
I know, that's a huge win. As devastating as it is, I read a thing where they had talked to one of the families of the whole storm who lost their house. They're like, everything we lost can be replaced. So like, we're thankful for that. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's going to be a big thing for months, years probably to come, really just the cleanup of all of this. So
yeah. But I mean, like I said, so many people have like volunteered to go and help and clean up like right away.
Yeah.
It was
it's
amazing.
Pretty
to
crazy.
See. Yeah. How many people came together and instantly were like, yeah, we got this. We're going to do
this.
They
were turning people away with, like, what I saw online, that they already had enough, like, donations, which is amazing. And they even were turning away volunteers. They're like, we have too many today. And I was like, because I wanted to go actually this past weekend with my daughter. But then I was like, you know what? Let's wait till the days ahead, because then people will start falling off and kind of forget, you know?
Yeah.
But I did read, this is so terrible. I'm sure you read it too, but there were like looters down there. And 2 people actually got arrested.
Thank God.
Because that is so sick. It's just, I mean, it's all the good though. We will focus on the good, but there
we'll
are
focus on the good, but yeah,
terrible.
Like
that's
for
just
real.
Terrible.
To
yeah.
try to take advantage of people's misfortune is so, so gross.
Yeah, it is really, really gross. So there's that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Went off on that, but we hope everyone's safe and
hope you guys stay safe and do all the things. And until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.